How you doing? I'm Phil Falcone, director, producer, effects, actor, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to call me, I'm good for it. I'm good producer of Terrifier, Terrifier 2 and Terrifier 3, special effects on Terrifier and Terrifier 2, and whatever else I have to do, set build. I'm on 30 screams or less. Welcome, people. Glad to be here.
Warning, 30 screams or less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it. Come back and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome, everyone, to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is called Don't Move. It's directed by Brian Netto and Adam
Yes, we're off to a great start again.
Oh, is that like Schindler as in Schindler's List?
Probably not.
It's S-C-H-I-N-D-L-E-R. That looks like Schindler to me. Okay. Directed by Brian Netto and Adam Schindler. Written by T.J. Kimfell and David White, starring Kelsey Asbilly as Iris, Finn Wittrock as Richard slash Dickass.
I didn't write
you
that.
Put ass down. I put dick because he was kind of a dick in this movie.
Okay. I was like, the listeners need to know I didn't sneak that one in.
No. That sounds like something you would do, though.
I wish I thought of it because I would have.
Oh, that's a good one. Dickass. All right. And Murray Treadwell is Bill. The plot of this movie is a seasoned killer injects a grieving woman with a paralytic agent. She must run, fight, and hide before her body shuts down.
But before we get into it, Corey, last night I was looking in the mirror, and you know what? My beard was looking gnarly. And I said to myself, I can't look like this. I gotta do something. So I decided to break out Beard Octane's beard wash and conditioner along with their beard oil, and dude, my beard looked amazing. I'm glad you turned me on to Beard Octane.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I've been using their products for years and I can vouch for them. And whether you're pounding IPAs or chopping wood, you gotta look your best. Visit beardoctane.com and use the code 30screams10 at checkout for a 10% discount. It helps us. And like I said, the products are absolutely incredible. They're local too. They're based out of Connecticut. So help them out and support small businesses. We're not just slinging beard grooming supplies. We've been using them for a while.
Yeah, we have.
30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Don't Move?
Steve, I enjoyed this a lot. And judging from your notes, I liked it more than you did.
I think so.
This is one of those movies that makes the viewer feel for the victim of the film. You had a crazy serial killer basically torturing this woman just by paralyzing her and dragging her through hell with him. Mm-hmm. He ends up killing a couple people in the process as well. And I think Netflix really released a good horror film for once with this one.
Yeah, it's few and far between when it comes to horror movies for Netflix. I think they're just like these movies that people make, they fund all that stuff, and Netflix is like, it's good enough. Mm-hmm. We'll put it on our platform. We'll pay you this amount of money. And then hope for the best. So I don't think it's like there's a lot of stuff that really basically blows my dick off on Netflix.
Not like your chicken grinder?
No, not like my chicken grinder that I just used for my barrier tacos.
So you know how I knew I was going to like this movie?
Yeah, sure.
It started with a dead kid. Like,
perfect.
As soon as it started.
Perfect. I saw Sam Raimi Productions, and I'm like, oh, okay, that sounds pretty cool. And then you had the dead kid happen, so I figured that was like a two-for-one for you.
I guess I missed the Sam Raimi part.
Yeah, so when I saw Raimi Productions, I'm like, oh, shit, did he direct it? And that's obviously as I went back after, I'm like, oh, no, he didn't direct it. I think it's just part of his production company.
Yeah.
So, which is fine. I mean, obviously, we know Sam Raimi makes some great stuff. Evil Dead series, it's one of my favorite horror series of all time. Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3, you know, the one with Tobey Maguire, mm-hmm. That's Sam Raimi. He also did the Doctor Strange movies.
Yep.
So, he does some great stuff. But this one, he didn't direct. It's just his like production company. I don't know, something like Happy Madison type deal. So for me, I don't know. For some reason, I think maybe I wasn't feeling it. I was watching it. I liked the premise. Honestly, I don't think I knew what I was really getting in for. And this is me going into this movie blind. I didn't look up a synopsis, nothing like that.
Really? So you hadn't even seen the trailer?
No. Okay. I just went into it.
Because I feel like we talked about this at the wedding over the weekend, and you said, like, why did you agree to it? I just suggested it.
Because we didn't have anything lined up.
Okay. Well, all right. We're good. This yeah, makes right. up for Lisa Frankenstein.
You're welcome. So, yeah, as I'm watching it, like, there's some cool parts in it. I like the idea, but I feel like I was kind of going into a movie where you said, like, the titles don't move. And I'm thinking maybe, like, she falls to her death. Or not to her death. She falls, and she gets real fucked up, right? And she can't move.
Well,
and
she wanted, like, to.
Right. She wanted to move. Well, she, yes, that's
she
right.
Wanted
she
to
wanted
die.
To, yeah, she wanted to eat herself off a cliff because her son did it first.
Yeah, and, like, this part was kind of odd to me because she fucking hiked to the top of a mountain, right? That's mm-hmm. for whatever, I mean, as you said, her son yeeted himself off a cliff, so she went up there to, like, visit the memorial site that they had set up, which was, you know, photos and candles and shit they put at the top on the rock where the kid fell off. But
sure.
Richard just appears in the frame at one point.
Exactly.
He just appears, and the fact that he just appears while wearing a button-up shirt and khakis
mm-hmm.
and, like, just fucking boots, like work boots. He just
right
a mountain wearing this shit?
I guess. Because we saw him climbing back down with her, and it's not an easy task, man. They're going over these rocks, and they're fucking going, like, obviously coming down a mountain. So he just climbed up a mountain just to talk to this girl and be like, oh, I'm just up here for the view.
Yeah, and then,
just
like,
in my button-down t-shirt having a fucking cliff bar or some bullshit.
Yeah, and, like, this scene was, I thought, was really long. Just Richard and Iris talking at the top of this mountain about, you know, whatever the fuck. And yeah. Richard turns around and starts hiking back down the mountain, and Iris just follows him.
Mm-hmm.
You're following a rando through the woods?
Fuck that.
And
I'm
then,
good.
Like, yeah, exactly. And then within seconds, he shows up. I thought this was pretty cool. He had an umbrella, and she was like, it's not raining. The umbrella was a stun gun.
Yeah, that was interesting. I like how he had that little setup there because it doesn't look, I mean, she's already locked in. Why would you even need it to be an umbrella? Just to be inconspicuous for whoever is coming by or something, you think? Because no one was around at all. So he could have just, like, grabbed this regular ass stun gun and stunned her.
Yeah, and he parked like an asshole, like someone at the mall. He's like, yeah. Oh, I parked too close to you. He's literally, like, it's mirror to mirror, basically, in the parking lot.
Yeah. Yeah, just touching tips there.
And all he wanted to do was braid her hair, apparently.
I guess so.
Because that's what he said he wanted to do.
That's fucking weirdo. Initially, what I was thinking is he was some sort of fucking, like, guardian angel deal.
Okay.
Because it's pretty random for this guy to just show up on the top of a mountain, like, dressed like that, and, you know, she's about to jump to her death. So I'm thinking, is it her conscience? Is it a guardian angel or something like that who has to talk her off the cliff? Then she actually does fall and, like, then she can't move or something. This is kind of what I was thinking just going into this blind. I wasn't seeing the full picture just yet. I didn't think that he was a real thing until they started walking down the mountain together and her following him. So I'm like, okay, he's an actual person. Little suspicious. Just for a random person to show up at the top of a mountain there. Also, how would he know where she is? Clearly, like, all there is parked cars out front.
It's gotta not be like, you know, I was thinking it's something, it's gotta be like a small town or something. You know, maybe he was at a gas station or something and saw her driving up there or some shit. They never touched on it.
Never did.
Or, you know, there was no prior relationship between the two. So,
nope.
Yeah, I don't know about that part at all.
Yeah, it was just so random. Usually with serial killers, they, like, hunt people. They're, like, watching from afar, all this stuff. So either he had his eye on her for a while, which I don't think so, because she just friggin' woke up, got her stuff, and went to the mountain where her son was. It's not like it was... Well, actually, it was probably part of her routine, and I know serial killers do that shit where they watch people's routines and shit like that. I think BTK did that. So, yeah, that wasn't explained at all. She just was parked there, climbed the mountain. He's like, oh, there's a car. Let's check it out. And then finds out it's a woman. I mean, that's a big risk to take. You never know. It could be just like some big ass guy who knows, I don't know, jujitsu or some shit and gets fucked up. That's a risk for the killer, too.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, a little crazy. It didn't make sense to me, that part. But then the stun gun part, that was really cool. And we don't see it happen right away. We think that he's just got her tied up. He's going to take her to someplace, whatever. But what we don't know is that he injected her with this paralyzing agent. And we didn't even know.
Yeah. So I actually love this part and how vague it was,
because
you don't see that. But then he starts explaining to her why she can't do certain things.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, and he breaks it down by, you know, in 5 minutes, this is going to happen. In 10 minutes, this is going to happen. And eventually your whole body's going to shut down. You're not going to be able to speak. You're not going to be able to breathe.
Yeah. Obviously, that's his thing. He knows that that's how it works. It's his MO. That's what he does. That's his MO, is that he uses that paralyzing agent to do this. So again, serial killers all have their things. They're very methodical. They know what it takes to kill someone or what they have to do in their tradition or ritual. That's it. That's the word I want to use, ritual. So that's part of his ritual. And we find out why later, but he also kind of touched up on it at the top of the mountain when he was telling her that he was in a car accident when he was younger, his girlfriend died, he was in a coma, whatever, and that's the start of it. So she's questioning, as she's in the backseat, is this all true? And he's like, yeah, this happened, that type thing. But what we don't realize is that his MO is, when his girlfriend was in the car with him, she was dying, and he looked at her and he's like, thank you, because he had like this moment of clarity by watching his girlfriend die. And then him being in the hospital in that coma, that's when he had that epiphany, like, oh, I want to kill people for a living or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I love how him saying thank you to his girlfriend comes up later in the movie.
Okay. I love that. Yeah. I thought that was really cool. I saw it coming from a mile away. But yeah, I thought it was great that they tied that back in. They just kind of
how the turns have tables.
How the turns have tables? You mean how the tables have turned?
That's yes.
Oh no, because turns of table, because it's the reverse.
Yep. Bingo.
Yep. Bingo. Got it. So that's what happened. That was obviously towards the end of the movie, but a lot of cool stuff does happen. This whole scene with Bill, I thought was interesting. Actually, I should take a step back, because she's trying to get away at this point, and she's starting to realize that, oh shit, my extremities are not working all that well. So her fingers, she's touching her fingers to like see how much time she has, basically.
Yeah. But
she can tell, like, if she's not moving, like, if she can't touch a couple fingers, she's like, oh, fuck, I'm fucked.
Yeah, we didn't talk about how she manages to escape him.
Right.
So,
right.
No, I was going to say, like, I can't even imagine how terrifying it must be to be running through the woods from a serial killer and your body's shutting down as you're doing it.
Yeah,
and
you can't escape that.
So the camera angle, there was this really cool camera angle that kind of panned, you know, it was very far back, and you can see Richard kind of walking in front of it through the forest.
Mm-hmm.
So that camera angle was awesome. And then Iris tries to escape Richard by jumping in the river. Dude, new fear unlocked.
Yeah,
I can't imagine floating down a fucking river and not being able to move.
Yeah. Oh, forget it. Dude, I've done it. Not the not moving part, but jumping into rapids, bad idea.
Yeah. Imagine
the dumbest, like, idea I've ever had in my life.
Imagine doing that and like physically not being able to move anything.
It was so smart, though.
And then she starts bouncing off rocks.
Yikes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a hell of a chance to take. And it makes sense, because flowing water is just going to send her fucking flying away. And he's going to have to try to find a way to keep up with that.
Yeah.
And that's not easy.
And this was one of my gripes, though, about this movie, is I realize that all this serum or whatever that she has is time-based. But when she's floating down the river and she comes upon a part of the river where she can pull herself out, she's able to use her arms and grab like a tree or something and pull herself to shore.
Yeah.
How? She just got injected.
Fuck,
nothing
if I
worked
know.
Like 30 seconds ago.
Oh no, man. Movie magic.
Yeah. So there were certain little things like this that really fucking bothered me, and it kind of killed my rating a little bit, but we'll get there.
That's fair. The scene where the ants were crawling on her face, how did you feel about that?
It doesn't bother me. It's not like they were fire ants or anything.
No. Like the ants, how do you think they looked?
They look like Tic Tacs.
Yeah, well, Tic Tacs. They looked a little CGI to me.
They were absolutely CGI'd, but
yeah,
I'm surprised they didn't look a little better with that Netflix money, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, like we just talked about this, is that Netflix probably just bought the movie and was like, yeah, we'll throw it up, that type thing. Netflix does that. I'm fairly certain that's what they do.
Well,
they buy up all these movies.
Yeah, the thing is like, Kelsey Asbiel and Finn Wittrock are both pretty well-known actors and actresses.
Yeah, she's actually in Yellowstone.
Yellowstone, she was in Fargo, and then Finn was in American Horror Story.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he played Danby in American Horror Story, was his character.
What season?
He was in several seasons, actually.
Well, that makes sense because they try to tie a lot of those together, but right. they're like kind of independent stories or independent seasons. Is that what I'm thinking?
Yeah, because they're all different, but like they'll bring back certain actors, actresses to play different characters.
Right.
But the, you know, they basically recycle who plays them. And yeah. Danby was in a few seasons, I believe. I didn't watch it all because that show turned to shit.
I tried watching the first season and I was like, get the fuck out of the house. That's it.
So I was watching this and I was like, God damn it. I'm thinking about Speak No Evil, yeah. where you have the opportunity to leave and you just stick around.
Yep. Again, jeez, just get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Why hang out?
Yeah. It happened again in this movie. Like she had plenty of opportunities before her shit shut down where she could have just left.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's for the movie. She's probably like, listen, I got to commit to the bid. I have to be paralyzed and we have to finish this movie.
Yep.
And acting paralyzed in a movie is definitely not as easy as you think.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know from personal experience, but think about it. Where you have to basically just be fucking dead, right? And not move a single limb. I mean, look at, what's his name from Weekend at Bernie's?
Terry Kaiser.
Thank you. Terry Kaiser, master of playing dead in a movie. I mean, there's no one deader than him in a movie. And somehow, he just completely limp, and they just do whatever with his body. Doesn't make a single reaction, no face, nothing, right? And she had to kind of do this. Obviously, nowhere near the caliber as him, but she did a great job playing basically almost a lifeless body. So, okay, she goes down the river. She hides with the ants and somehow still manages to get up and get away from Richard. And she falls into Bill, basically. She's on the ground, and dude, Bill is almost about to run her over with a lawnmower.
Oh, man. I thought we were finally going to get a lawnmower death because I feel like we talked about this recently where there aren't enough lawnmower deaths in movies.
There really isn't. I can name a few just off the top of my head. I mean, there's Dead Alive or Brain Dead. Mm-hmm. Then there's The Happening. That happened in there where a guy just laid down in front of a lawnmower. Sinister. Sinister, which is like one of the biggest jump scares of all time. So that's three. I don't know. I can't think of any other.
We need more I'm saying. More lawnmower deaths.
Yeah, more. It must be hard, though, to do a lawnmower death, if you think about it. You really have to just like, okay, mm-hmm. You have to really hit the person's head and then like get over that hump and start just turning their face to hamburger.
Figure it out. It's fucking Hollywood, man.
Hollywood movie magic. They'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. There's always a way to figure it out. I mean, shit. That's next for deathmatch wrestling.
They use weed whackers all the time right now, but
I know,
not a lawnmower.
Lawnmower bump?
That'd there be you the go, worst schlack. Thing ever. There's an idea for you.
Oh, my God. It would never happen because that's just too much.
Mm-hmm.
I think deathmatch wrestlers might have their limits. That, I think, is their limit. That and, I don't know, everything else seems fair game to them, though.
Yeah, weed whacker is probably would do too much damage. I mean, a lawnmower. Weed whackers, they use all the time.
The
weed whacker
is
spots.
It's enough. I don't think you need to go any further than that. They haven't done chainsaws, right?
Or Brain Damage used a chainsaw on John Moxley back in CZW. Not a chainsaw, like a sawzall blade.
Oh, my God.
He ran on his forehead.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I've seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't obviously have as much torque as a chainsaw. So I think that's the limit. Like, okay, we're not going to cut off arms for a deathmatch wrestling match in front of 20 people for a sandwich. We're not going to do that. We can't do that.
Need a bigger payday for that one, pal.
Yeah, way bigger payday. I mean, a million, maybe? Then you can run the risk of getting your arm cut off? I don't know. Yeah. I'll figure out a way. But, so she falls basically right in front of Bill. He's about to, you know, fucking turn her into hamburger, and then he sees her. And this is where she's basically now completely paralyzed.
So
the only thing she can do is like blink her eyes, but go ahead.
No, I was gonna say this was another one of those scenes where I was like, what the fuck? She crawls out of a wheelbarrow while she's paralyzed and drags herself under a couch?
Oh, you're fucking right. That or he somehow picked her up and put her behind the couch in the span of him walking to the door and answering it.
Yeah. I don't know. That one didn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah, because I was watching him like, wait a second, how? I was so confused. But it made for a pretty good scene. Bill's hanging out. He's about to call 911. And then Richard comes to the door. And he's saying that, like, he's looking for his wife. She's nuts. He lost his phone. All this stuff. And Bill's starting to pick up on it. He's starting to realize that there's some fuckery happening because Richard just shows himself in the house, even though Bill's like, stay outside, I'll call 911. So right there, fuckery. He knows something's up. And then he sees that he actually does have his phone on him. And now Bill's like, all right, time to raise hell. And they get in this fucking fight, and Bill's beating the shit out of him until Richard stabs him, and that's it. And then, like, he puts the house on fire. Like, the house goes ablaze. But this was really cool. So she's laying behind the couch, and I think she briefly somehow touched the curtain with her fingers, and Richard saw the curtain move from outside in a truck.
Yep.
It was like a flinch, man. Barely even touched it. So he comes in. He knew right away that she was behind the couch. He moved it, picked her up, walked her out, all that stuff. So they start moving on. And this is where she actually starts getting some of her feeling back. And she actually goes to, well, they both go to a gas station.
Oh, I love this scene.
It's a good scene. And she's trying to get out, man. And she can move a little bit. Why don't you elaborate on this scene a little bit? Well, tell me why you love this scene.
Again, this is goes back to in the beginning how I said, like, it makes you feel for the victim of the film, because at this scene, Iris is in the front seat and Richard goes in the gas station to, I don't know, get snacks or whatever, or pay for gas.
Mm-hmm.
And that little boy walks up to the side of the car and Iris's face is just pressed against the glass and he's looking at her and Iris can't say anything. She can't do anything.
Nope.
And then the mother comes over and was like, hey, let's go, kid. Like, stop harassing this lady. And they just leave. Meanwhile, yeah. Iris is in fucking trouble and she mm-hmm. can't do anything about it. That sense of dread in that scene was, I thought it was really great.
Yeah, there was a lot of dread in that scene because she had no way of getting out. And there was all these people around her. And if she could speak, she could have yelled out to any of them, but she couldn't speak at that point. I think she couldn't talk at that point, right?
Yeah, she couldn't do anything.
Yeah, she had very minimal movement at that point. Like, it's starting to wear off, but not to the extent where she needs to be to start communicating with people or start making a move. And they run off. But this is when, we didn't even talk about the car wreck. And that's how she got away initially, was that she was in the back seat. She attacked Richard and they got in this car wreck and she got out. But obviously, she started running away with that shit in her system. Now, that's important we bring that up because Richard takes Iris to get the car. And he's going to try to tow it with like a fucking tow rope. And good luck with that, man.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a brutal death here.
Yeah.
It's a real brutal death.
The special effects in this scene, like, oh, my God. That was like some Damien Leone shit right here.
It was. It was very good. I saw that. I even jumped. I was like, oh, fuck, because a hook to the face like that?
Yeah, he just bashes a cop's brain in, and then the cop falls on the ground, and then he starts beating him with the hook even more.
Yep, just keeps going. And he's in panic mode, by the way, this killer, because so much shit is happening that is against his MO that he's getting real fucked up here. On the way to the car, his family calls him. His daughter's talking to him. The mother's like, we're going to come up to the lake house for the weekend, or the cabin for the weekend.
Yeah, we find out that he has a family and everything.
Yep. And this is, I think, his thing, where he goes away for the weekend, kills someone at the cabin, goes home to his family, and, you know, that's his guy strip, just by himself. But the wife mentioned that he's starting to do it more and more, so now he's not getting as fulfilled as much as he should, which can often make him sloppy. Well, that's what makes killers sloppy. Then they just go on this fucking rampage, then they get caught. That's about what's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to the car, cop stops them, and he knows something's up. And he's talking to Richard, and he's like asking all these questions. He's like, do you have proof? Like, oh, I don't have my ID. Oh, and that's my wife. She's sick. And all these things. And then the cop goes to talk to her, and she just says, help me. That's all that she can say. She somehow manages to say, help me. Super faint, by the way, but because this is her like coming out of it a little more.
Yeah. And then the cop saw he had another needle on the dashboard.
Yep.
And something else. I don't remember what the other thing was on the dashboard, but the cop sees it and he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Everything's fucked up here.
Yep. And I think he looked away and that's when he fucking took the hook rope and just smashed his face. And then the cop was, I don't want to say fine, but he was definitely fucked up to the point where like, all right, I know some shit's going down. Let me pull my gun. And then Richard hits him over the head with a hook and just keeps going. And
yeah. This led to like probably my favorite scene in the whole movie.
Okay.
So after Richard kills the cop, he sticks his head through the truck window.
Yep.
And him and Iris, just another really cool shot of them face to face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought the camera work in this movie was cool because you had little scenes like that one and Richard walking through the woods. But
oh, yeah.
Go back and rewatch that scene if you don't know what I'm talking about. And it's so powerful.
All right. Yeah, I'll go back and watch that. When I watched it the first time, I was like, it's good.
It reminded me of like that scene in The Shining with Jack sticking his head through the door.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's got that look on his face.
Yeah, just a maniac, an absolute maniac. And that's what Richard was. He was an absolute maniac. I mean, I would have loved to have heard more about his backstory, but I don't think the story was about him in this. It was all about Iris. He was just along for the ride. So they drive off, but what we realize is that the needle's missing from the dashboard. Iris was able to grab it. I guess she had like maybe this jolt of energy in her muscles, like, okay, let's just grab it real quick. And she did that. So he's about to kill her at this point. And immediately, Corey, I'm thinking we're getting a Funny Games moment.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, where he, like, they go in the boat, he throws her over the side, she can't do anything, so she drowns.
Yeah, so Joanne was sitting with me and saw the end of that part, and I said that. I'm like, I think someone's getting cinder block shoes right here, because he put the cinder blocks in the boat.
Yeah, sleeping with the fishes, Ken.
So, yeah, I thought someone was getting the old cinder block shoes treatment and was going to, you know, go right to the bottom of the lake there, but, get chopped up in the boat motor.
Yeah, or could have been Jason. Mm-hmm. Just hanging out at the bottom there with chains and shit.
I thought that too. I'm like, oh, dude, this is CJ Graham's going to be at the bottom of the lake.
Yep. He's just down there. Hey, what's up? First time?
I'm still down here. I've been down here since Jason 6.
Yeah, what the fuck? Help me out here. That would be a hell of a twist, huh?
Right. Oh, it'd be like an M. Night Shyamalan Glass and...
Yeah.
Was it Glass and Split?
Yeah, a little kind of a spinoff type deal.
They're in the same universe.
Yeah, same universe type deal. Oh, God. Can you imagine if that was same universe and that was actually Crystal Lake?
It looked like it. Like they might have shot it at the same one they used in that film.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so yeah, let's go back here. She has that jolt of energy. She has the needle, stabs it into his leg. And I knew this was coming, but I didn't realize she couldn't actually do it because her muscles were still fucked.
Yep, so she couldn't inject them.
Nope, he pulls the needle out and he just sprays it. I'm like, oh, now she's fucked.
Yeah.
She's big time screwed now. But this is where like her muscles are starting to come back into play, I guess. And he takes her on the boat, you know, picks her up, puts her on the boat. He's going out to the middle of the lake. And this is like probably another one of those scenes where it's very in the distance. Almost reminded me of, what's that fucking movie we watched not too long ago with the yoga death?
Oh, In a Violent Nature.
Yeah, In a Violent Nature. Kind of reminded me of that for a second, just by how far away they were in the camera shot. So it made it seem almost peaceful just by being that far away and hearing nature when there's such a chaotic scene happening.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. That's what I'm saying. There's like all these little subtle touches in this movie that I absolutely loved.
Yeah, and I could see that being a subtle touch. So we go back to, you know, the camera basically being right on top of them. And she has this boat on her. And it's like her kid's boat that he used to play with. And she says to Richard, can you at least just take this back to my husband? I think it was her husband.
Mateo's boat. Yeah, he wanted it to, I think that's what it was, give him to her husband.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. And as he's coming in, she stabs him with a knife, right?
Yeah, she grabbed the fishing knife that he had and puts it through his face.
Yep. Oh, God, that's right, through his face. Brutal. And she grabbed the gun and just started firing at him. Shot him a couple times, but missed a couple as well. It's important that she missed because her muscles are fucked still. And he goes overboard. He starts swimming away. And then we see the boat start sinking. I'm like, oh, she's so fucked. Are we getting a bad ending?
Yeah. When the boat started sinking, I was cheering. I was like, yes, they're both going to die.
Yep. So she starts sinking. And I'm like, oh, yeah, she's fucked. She's not even moving at this point, barely moving. So she goes down. I'm thinking this is the end of the movie. Nope, pops up, can fully swim, perfectly fine, standing up.
It all wore off like just
all wore
that
off
moment.
That fast. Yeah, I don't know if it was adrenaline or something like that, but way too fast. She was not playing dead or anything like that. She was still really fucked up, but somehow just swam to the shore, started walking upright, and we see Richard still on the ground, and he's basically dying at this point, and she just says thank you, just walks off.
But she says this other line first that I really liked, and it was, broken doesn't have to mean hopeless.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
And then and then thank you, and that's a wrap.
Yeah, she didn't even kill him.
No, there's no shot he doesn't bleed out. He's got like six bullet holes in him.
I know.
And a fucking stab wound in his face.
Yeah, but it didn't stop 50 Cent. You know,
he's built different.
I guess. So Richard's fine. I bet there's a sequel and he goes and hunts her down and then like the husband and her are paralyzed in a house.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Netflix, if you listen to this, we want to cut.
Yeah, I want to cut. Where they're both just paralyzed and some fuckery happens and they somehow manage to get away. I don't know. Let me write it. I don't have to direct it. I'll write it for you. Just give me my cut. There we go. That's my way into Hollywood. So, yeah, that's the end of the movie. Fade to black, whatever, happy music, done. Corey, what do you give Don't Move?
So this is going to get a 4 out of 5 for me. And okay. The only reason this isn't getting a perfect score is because of all the dumb shit we talked about that doesn't make any sense.
Yep.
Never explained
okay.
certain things. I really enjoyed this film for the most part, though. It had everything I like about horror. Mm-hmm. Intense suspense, lots of dread. And I felt hopeless watching it. And
yeah, there were... Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, we've talked about this before. I love that feeling when I'm watching a movie.
I know, you maniac.
And not to mention the cinematography was great. And there was a song in the beginning that played where I was hoping that the rest of the, like, the score. But we really only hear one song in the beginning of the movie. That was really fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, the score of this movie is going to be awesome. But unfortunately, we only get one. And then it's just mainly sounds and stuff. But otherwise, yeah, I love the shit out of this movie.
Yeah, it's all they can afford, just one song. And they're like, fuck, all right, back to the regular movie. I mean, what do you think the budget is on this movie? Because clearly it's all shot in the woods. Like, how much do you have to spend to shoot in the woods?
I don't know, man.
Probably not that much.
Yeah, you got the set is right there. It's all natural, you know?
Exactly. There's nothing you need to do other than make sure that the lighting is there, which you have to film during the day. So you get the nights off. You can go out to dinner, spend time with the family, all that. Let's see what Box Office Mojo says. Not Mogo. Mojo.
Pizza Mogo.
Yeah. Pizza Mogo. It's a new streaming platform.
Mubi.
Mogo. Let's see. Don't Move. No, not Don't Move 2004. What is happening here? I'm getting
you
like...
You good?
No. I looked up Don't Move and I'm getting like... Love Don't Cost a Thing with Nick Cannon and shit for results.
You got to put the apostrophe, otherwise it won't work.
It's there. The apostrophe's there.
What? You're in Google?
Well, I'm on
Box Office Mojo. Okay. Let's see.
Because I want to see how much they spent to make this thing, if it's even there.
It's not.
Okay, then. All right. Never mind.
It's definitely not a drama romance with Penelope Cruz.
For sure isn't. So
I don't know, but I just read another fucking goof in the IMDb.
Yeah, go for it. I love the goofs.
Iris goes back and forth between scenes wearing running shoes and hiking boots.
What? Whoops. Oh, my God. Easy oversight, especially when you're not really paying attention to her feet, but people who have feet things, I guess, maybe they notice.
Yeah, probably I would have never noticed that.
No, I didn't. So good on them for noticing that, but I was just paying attention pretty much to her, I don't know, upper half. The whole time, because that's what we're watching anyways. Mm-hmm. We're not watching their feet.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my review.
Yeah. Want to hear you shit all over it.
I'm not going to shit all over it. Overall, I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5. I liked the premise because it was unique, but for some reason, I wasn't really feeling it. I thought Kelsey as Billy was great in this, basically being completely unable to move for the majority of the film, which can't be easy, which I was saying before. Just like Terry Kaiser, the kind of playing lifeless people like this portrayal of, you know, Weekend at Bernie's and Weekend at Bernie's 2, a sequel that never should have happened. I may classify this more as a thriller than a horror movie, but again, we've talked about this in depth before, is that they often blur the line sometimes. Like, some people can think a thriller is a horror movie and vice versa. So I think that may fall, for me, more under thriller. Initially, I was thinking Sam Raimi directed this, but I think it's just under his umbrella, like we saw with the Raimi productions. But then again, I've liked it. Good, not great for me.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, I didn't regret watching it, that's for sure.
No regrets.
No regrets at all. But everyone, it's on Netflix. You want to check it out. It's an hour and a half. Not bad. Corey loved it. I thought it was good.
It was okay.
It was okay. It was fine.
It was a movie.
It was a movie. That's right. Well, there's plenty of movies I can say. It was a movie. This one was, you know what, a little bit more than a movie. It was a film.
Ending
there. Bougie.
It was a movie. It was a film.
It was a film. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit shiningwizardsnetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30screamsorless.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out beardoctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.